For July 19th, 2013, we talk about the Steam Summer Sale, Kentucky Route Zero Act 2, and Rogue Legacy. Welcome to the 28th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm David Moneysmith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. Let's see here. Dennis will not be joining us this week because of building some homes for the, poor, I guess. Hell if I know. But yeah, he'll be away doing good things. We'll be here talking about video games, because why not? So, it doesn't seem like that one's landing, you guys. Are you there?
Yes. What?
Okay. Is this on?
I don't think it's on. So anyway, what do we have in store for you this week? We're gonna do some the brief things have happened. It's been a little bit since we've been on. Then we're gonna do some of the grind, where we're gonna talk about things that we've been playing during our quick little break there. And then we're gonna wrap everything up. No multiplayer this week, just because we've been away for a week, and
Cool. You should know that Dennis is the one who talks on the podcast outside of you.
Okay.
This is going to be a quiet week, just so you know.
I will make sure to up my ratio to compensate for him. All right. So, yeah. Time for the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Does anybody have a story they want to volunteer?
Time to look up a story.
Well, I will go.
Sure.
Let's see here. Yeah, so the thing that seems to be popping up is retailers, both online and offline, running out of and then getting back in stock and then running out of again pre-orders for the next-gen consoles. So both the Xbox 360 and the PS4, GameStop. I should know. I worked for the company for fucking ever. GameStop, Amazon, I think Best Buy. Going in, going out. We've got, 4 months until this thing comes out?
Mm-hmm.
These things come out. And, they're already sold out. So, what do we make of this?
I think I've kind of decided that I'm going to wait for the beta of the console.
Oh, you mean you're going to wait for the pre-release where they're working out the bugs?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So... We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if there's any video games that snag my interest.
Yeah. David?
Yeah, I didn't care about consoles at all the last time these came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point I was strictly PC gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still a thing where when the consoles come out, if you haven't pre-ordered them, you can't get them?
I think that's why people wait in line. But like, if the entire manufacturing run is spoken for, what are people going to be waiting in line for? Like those lines are really useful, because like the morning shows and USA Today, they're like, oh, people are lined up 4 weeks in advance for the Xbox One, blah 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 blah, and that's free publicity. I'm pretty sure that those people are plants. That they are literally pod people from the stars who have come to replace us.
You got before me.
Damn it! Yes, Mark went up for Cole. No. Some of that has to be manufactured, right? Am I just paranoid?
I hadn't thought of it before, and now I can't unthink of it.
See, every single time, there's a news story. So they have to be extras. And I've looked at every clipping. I've got all of the footage, and I'm cross referencing. I'm seeing some faces over and over again.
See, now I'm just imagining Cole in his apartment, and there's like lines of string, connecting like all these, tacks stuck into a
beautiful mining it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mining it.
You guys are just jealous.
Are you out mathematicianing the mathematician?
Yes. Well, that. Nash was crazy, though, like legit, like, after all
well,
that.
Like, you know, like, He managed his craziness, but yeah.
True.
He was functionally crazy.
He was a useful crazy person, therefore he was eccentric.
Yeah, he got classified as eccentric.
If you're useful or rich, you're eccentric.
Mm. Yeah, so Howard Hughes is an eccentric.
Mm. Right.
I don't know if I buy it, fellas.
He's just a rich, crazy guy.
True. Oh, man. See, eventually it goes the other way. But, yeah.
What I honestly think they should do is do it like airport tickets, where they just pre-order whatever the hell they want. And then, you know, when you get to that day, you know, maybe they have enough, maybe they don't.
That does actually happen. You know that, right?
Oh, no. Does that actually happen?
Yeah, it does. Like, people will show up at a place where they have pre-ordered one, and they'll say, yeah, we oversold our allotment, but this place might have one. Or they give them one out of the next shipment. Notwithstanding the fact that, like, you'll eventually they'll open up lots for the for subsequent shipments, right?
Right. Yeah, that seems kind of questionable. I mean, are you still held to, will they refund in that scenario?
You know what? It never came up. There's also the idea that, like, if you don't pick up within the first 48 hours, they just straight up sell it out from under you. So you better be there or be
classy.
Square. Yeah, I know, right? And that could be that's a bunch of different retailers, but it's a really weird world outside of Amazon.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that. I know. I'm a little surprised that there's this much difficulty with, you know, meeting the demand. Although I guess I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
I don't know. Yeah, that's about it for that story, though. It's just interesting to see all that happening over the past couple of weeks. Who's next?
I've got a pair of them.
Okay.
First off, I want to wish everyone a happy Steam summer sale.
Oh, yeah. Have you managed to pick up anything good?
Yeah, actually. I picked up Skyrim, but that's... Obviously, I will be speaking of that soon. But, yeah, I mean, you know, among PC gamers, you know, this is probably the holiday that's only second to New Year's Eve. In the winter, so
I don't
games,
quite get
you will
the reference.
Never play for cheap. Say that again.
I don't quite get the reference. The
Gabe Newell, the guy.
Okay,
who,
no, okay.
Never mind.
There we go. No, it's fine. That's fine. It just took me a second. I didn't.
Wait for it.
So, what are some of the games that have good deals?
Well. It's complicated.
Well, it rotates. like it changes. Yeah. So there are daily sales, and then every 8 hours, I believe, there are flash sales, including the ability to vote on different like on which one you want to see discounted. And like if you watch it enough, you notice that it's a bunch of the same stuff going, you know, kind of over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of, like, it's kind of, oh,
they're
sorry,
all, they're all good. Go ahead.
The weird thing is that, like, you know, like, for example, I think Skyrim, the Ultra, you know, all of whatever pack has been all three so far.
Yeah.
And it's not been discounted the same amount for each.
Right. So it's a gamble, really.
Yeah, it's really weird. The unfortunate thing, kind of, is that the, since you're the one you're voting on, since it's obviously by popularity, it tends to be just cycle through like a handful of big name games.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's almost always like Skyrim, Borderlands, or say like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, like Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider's been up there a bunch. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's really really good deals.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, like, here's the thing. I would love it if Steam would tell me what games I bought in what order.
Sure.
Like, you know, I know that I've bought plenty, but it's only showing that I have two, and it might just be two that I played immediately. Like one of the things that is really kind of entertaining about this is one of the big times where you see everybody being really active on your on your friends list, you know? You just know that it's going to be like, oh, I see that you're playing Skyrim. And it's like, you're never going to touch it again. And I'm one to talk, right? But but it's just...
Yeah. And I find for me, it's especially bad. Like, I'm probably going to pick up System Shock 2 because it's like $2.75.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for me, it's, you know, I tend to play the bigger, you know, the more modern, you know, the bigger purchases, mm-hmm. actually play them. But it's all the games that I'm like, well, basically that I'm like, someday this is going to be on Watch Out for Fireballs. I mm-hmm. should probably get it now.
Yeah. And most of those are probably pretty good bets. But it's, yeah. You just watch for it and you're like, oh, you know, I'm a pretty active wish lister, so I get notifications whenever something that I want goes on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, Kerbal Space Program went on sale, and it's like, okay, cool, that's like half off. Buy,
right.
You know, Runner 2, that went on sale. So I watch for things that I'm genuinely interested in. So there's very little in the way of, like, impulse buying, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's, you know, I got, like, XCOM for $10 or something.
Yeah, actually, the one that's been debatable for me is there's a number of games that I've gotten that I like that I just haven't played because I got them for console,
right?
And didn't like the controls. Most notably, Dishonored.
Right.
Basically Dishonored. Borderlands 2 and Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm debating whether I can justify buying them again on PC so that I might actually beat them.
Well, it makes no sense to rebuy Dark Souls because the controls on PC are legitimately, like, there is no sense at all in playing them with a mouse and keyboard. Like,
are they?
It is objectively a worse experience. In fact, like the page, like the store listing for Dark Souls, at the top, it outright says you need an Xbox 360 controller for this, because otherwise it's bullshit. So,
huh? Well, that would jack up the price enough. So, oh well.
Yeah.
Did you actually ever play Max Payne 3?
Max Payne 3? No, I never played that. I only recently played the first one at all for WoW, but. Yeah. So, like, what do you make of the trading cards? That's actually like a little piece of news out of this.
I've done absolutely nothing with them.
What do you do with them? It's like there's an option to sell them. However, I don't understand what you get by having. Do you get extra Steam ranks? But Steam ranks don't do anything. And because, like, all the cards that I have were just given away as random, you know, for spending, you know, X number of dollars during the Steam Summer Sale, like, you sell them for less than a dollar.
Right. I mean, I think Steam ranks don't do something in the same way that, you know, Gamer Score doesn't do anything, presumably. Right. So I think there's that. But my understanding is also that you can get, like, discounts.
So, I opened up Steam, like when the sale started. Going in there, I generally check Steam every day to see about deals, and it's like, oh, the Steam Summer Sale. Oh, you have something new in your inventory. Now I'm in a, you know, something awesome happens every once in a while, and I don't encourage this behavior. But occasionally, somebody sends me a gift on Steam. You know, it's right. You know, somebody who's in one of the groups, and it's kind of like, oh, somebody must have, you know, picked up something that they saw, you know, for like a couple of bucks. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. I'll have to hit them back with something, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just kind of like, you have something new in your inventory. And I go to my inventory, and then it says, you know, you have a Prison Architect card. Now, I really want to play Prison Architect, but it never drops below $30 for an alpha. And that's ridiculous. So I was like, oh, Prison Architect. Awesome. Great. And then it's like, I can't do anything. Don't tell me that don't do this. Don't tell me that I can play Prison Architect and then don't make me play Prison Architect.
That's really, really odd. I did not realize that worked that way.
Like, it is Steam item, and then the name of it is Prison Architect. It's not a card. It doesn't say Prison Architect card. It just says Prison Architect.
Huh.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'll be honest, this is a feature I don't get. But
and like so and this is the weird kind of thing. I feel like Steam is so good to us. Steam is like such the way of the future.
Right.
Steam is such the way of the future, and so like for us, that it kind of baffles me that there's something that just so misses the mark to my sensibilities. It's like, no,
right.
Like obviously I'm like struggling. There's this cognitive dissonance around like trying to make this matter to me, but it doesn't.
I guess my kind of assumption was that at some point they were going to try to hook in, you know, some sort of community, something or another, or
yeah.
You know, probably hats.
Yeah, and like I get hats. Like I understand hats because like the rare ones either look cool or they have like actual gameplay functionality. Like that I understand. It's limited to one game, but this is this whole meta game that they're putting on top of it. And I just David.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I
Ben.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, I don't have the Steam account, so I don't get it either. But even
literally,
if I had it,
get it,
I might
you
not get it either.
Unable
yeah.
to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steam will not be sending you any cards.
No cards.
No cards for me.
And like I said, you know, like they're giving developers tools. Like I'm looking at the list here, and like literally, nine of the 10 games that they're featuring have these little ribbons over them that say cards. Cards are enabled.
Right.
And I think that that's just tied to achievements, and there are cards for achievements, but you can trade your achievements now?
My hope is that they're going to come out with some sort of deck-building game.
Maybe?
And then, you know, because if I could end up having like I don't know, like Binding of Isaac dude fighting Gordon Freeman or something,
that
would be kind of cool.
Okay, so have either of you played Final Fantasy VIII?
No,
I've not. Although I know basically of the card game.
The card game in it is really, really good. Like, every monster and character has a card that is associated with it. And the game is pretty simple in that there are numbers on the top, bottom, left, and right. And then you play them into a 3x3 grid. And it's, like, a real simple, you know, the cards, the higher number wins out, and then you claim the number. Then you claim that card. And then you can turn those in for special items and things like that. Like, it'd be cool if there was something simple like that, you know. Where
that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. But I don't know. I could say.
I noticed, by the way, that every time I hear about Final Fantasy VIII, what I hear is cool card game. Gunblades are pretty cool. Moving on.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
But
yeah, I only say that because I'm playing Final Fantasy VII for WoF right now, and it's giving me the Jones for the 32-bit Final Fantasies. Yeah, who knows? But yeah. Trading cards. You said you had another story, Devin?
Yeah. Do you see that apparently, according to the feds, professional gaming is professional gamers are now professional athletes?
Yeah, I saw that. That's specifically for LOL players, right? For League.
Yeah. Now that I think of it, I'm not sure because it was. It was League of Legends, I believe it's Riot Gaming, that
Riot
was
Games.
Kind of lobbying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely them, but I don't know if officially if it's, you know, the rule only applies to them or if it kind of sets a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently now foreign professional gamers, at least in League of Legends, can apply for athlete visas
right.
to the U.S.,
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand quite how athletes, you know, visas work, honestly. But I can see that. Like all of the articles are like, pro gamers are athletes now, blah blah blah. But it's like, no, they're being treated as athletes under immigration law.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, actually, yeah, it's kind of a sensationalized headline. Yeah. I mean, it does make sense to, you know, be able to come here for like a tournament.
Yeah, to come here to compete. You know, they're creating some kind of economic, you know, benefit, mobility, you know.
Although I do feel like, you know, there could be some strategy if we, you know, if the alternative is that they have to like play in via the interwebs.
Oh, and
maybe
the lag.
That could give our team a lag advantage. So maybe the federal government should reverse their stance.
There was an awesome, I believe it was Radiolab, where they were talking about like the subject was time and like just both really, really small and really, really vast amounts of time. And they're talking mm-hmm. about kind of this race once trading, like stock trading, was mm-hmm. was internetified. In order to get a cable that was 100 feet shorter. So it used to be that all of these, you know, exchanges were spread throughout the country, but then, you know, everything had to move to New York because that's where the computers were. And it got to the point like everybody was trying to get it, so they just standardized it. And there are banks that you buy and you are assured that no matter how far away your computer is from the main mainframe.
Right. Yeah.
that it will have the same length. So ones that are closer end up having longer cords to compensate for that in order to get rid of these like little microsecond advantages that somebody might have. So what I'm saying is we may be able to rent out these various proxy servers to League players or Dota players or whatever somebody may be, right?
Huh.
I'm sure it doesn't work that way. I think
but maybe it should.
yeah. I don't know. Ben, how about you?
Yeah. I only got a little one. I just sent it through the newsfeed. It's just a post that the people at Volition Games made today about the new Saints Row game.
Mm, yeah.
And apparently Johnny Gat is going to be back in this game.
But and spoilers for Saints Row the Third, a game whose story doesn't matter. Johnny Gat dead.
Yeah.
Well, technically, by the end of the game, spoilers for my upcoming What You've Been Playing.
It's not what you've been playing, it's the grind.
Time Warp.
Spoilers for my future grind. Technically, by the end, he's undead.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Huh, so they must have found a way. I mean, I'm not arguing for strict continuity in this universe.
Yeah, I don't think they're too focused on continuity anyway.
No. Huh, so Gat is back, and he's resting on what appears to be mutant. They kind of look like Nemesis from the game Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
I assume those are the bad guys of this game.
Weird. So it went from government operatives to...
aliens.
Nemesis?
Nemesis.
Wait, don't you know there's the same thing, the freaking lizard people, man. That's kind of interesting. I always wondered like if there was any particular reason they killed him off, because they always struck me as a little just kind of abrupt.
To give motivation for what you ended up doing.
Yeah, but does it really seem like that type of game?
I don't know. Maybe to get Shandi all mad? I have no idea. Shandi's a character in that game, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, the newsline item for this is simply Gat is back in the notes. Oh, man.
The grind.
It's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing in these past couple of weeks here. Does anybody want to volunteer to go first? Because I've got a handful. This actually is a rare week for me where I've played games.
I can go first because I do not have much.
Do it.
So I was out of town last week, so I didn't have a lot of time to play games. But the main development is... I beat my first wave of the multiplayer in The Last of Us.
Oh, cool. The factions?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I described it in a previous episode. But kind of the way it works is you spend 12 weeks building up a camp of Tamagotchis or virtual people that are represented by dots.
Oh, and man, I got the blob again.
You don't even interact with them. You don't feed them or anything. But
do you clean up their poop?
Like Tamagotchis. Yeah.
But there are some pretty cool, like, it basically like gives you like a news feed of what's going on with them.
Oh, yeah.
I think I described this before.
You're following their post-apocalypse Twitters?
Pretty much. It's like, so-and-so's, you know, like gutting a squirrel, or so-and-so's cleaning out the toilets, and like, you know, so-and-so's making some clothes. But you start to get some grim ones, because, I mean, it'll keep adding survivors if you do well. Mm-hmm. And so you eventually hit like a breaking point where you can't get as many supplies to keep your people like healthy because you have so many people.
Johnny stole Belinda's breast milk.
Well, yeah, so people start getting like either hungry or like sick, but then they'll start saying like so-and-so is considering cannibalism. And so-and-so, you know, it starts getting pretty grim, so.
Eventually you just get one that in all capitals, Soylent Green is people!
Yeah. But and it's cool too, I know I mentioned this before too, but they periodically will make you choose like a mission to do. Mm-hmm. And you'll have like three rounds to accomplish a mission. It could be something like headshots or Molotov kills or just downs or executions or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you like have to complete so many. But the thing is once you do that mission, if you pick it again, like it increases the number of things that you have to do each time. So you can basically only choose the same mission like two or three times before it starts getting too unreasonable.
So they're diminishing returns.
Well, so they make you try a variety of tactics, which is cool because it makes you build different classes that are good for different things. So, mm-hmm. so it's kind of a good way to push you into that. But anyway, so I finished the 12-week campaign or whatever, a week or two ago. And so I was initially the good guys,
was that like a spoiler?
It's like the Brotherhood of Steel, you know, it's like they're good, but they got blood on their hands.
Yeah,
but
morally cool. Ambiguous.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I had the morally ambiguous people, and so now I'm going to join the other morally ambiguous people, but who are more ruthless, I guess.
Nice.
So So I started that last night. I started playing a few rounds of that. Multiplayer is still cool. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. I've talked with people at work about the single player, but I will wait for you guys to buy and beat that game to talk about it with you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that all for you?
That's all I got.
I can segue into that nicely.
Did you get The Last of Us?
Oh, yeah. I bought The Last of Us like 2 days after it came
out. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I've just been moving real slow. And like, so this is kind of like a meta, like a meta point. But I was playing it on my old TV. Hint in that language there. It was like, okay. I'm having trouble. I've got to, you know, where are my glasses to play this? It just doesn't feel right to me. Like I just, mm-hmm. you know, so I put it down and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of use that to justify, you know, for myself, you know, which is the most stupid reason to do like this kind of thing ever. But I was like, you know, I'd really like to, you know, this is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I've wanted one for a while. So I went out and bought a new TV.
Aha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So my old one was a 32-inch Sony. I was just like, it looks ridiculous compared to my new one, which is a 50-inch Sharp.
Goodness.
LCD, yeah. No, so it's substantially bigger. You know, sale at Best Buy, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to justify it to myself, you know. But yeah, no, it looks gorgeous on... So The Last of Us looks gorgeous on a gigantic screen. It feels really, really good. The game is also pretty good, too. yeah, so, I'm sensitive and weird about this because I put myself on blackout for it. Like I knew nothing about it. Like I didn't know it had zombies in it until I fired it up and played it. Yeah. Like that, that's how blacked out I was. So like to say anything about like where I'm at or what I'm doing right now kind of feels like it would like future me would be upset saying like, oh, I just did this awesome thing. Like, well, crap. Now I'm going to expect it. I'm going to be waiting for the time when I walk through blank or, you know, or this scene. But like, you know, speaking in generals and just, you know, until I can speak in specifics, man, the music in this game is so freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this awesome, sparse acoustic guitar, almost like an old Western ambient kind of feel.
I felt like it was very reminiscent of Babel, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a really good point. I need to look up who composed Babel, because I think it's somebody who I'm familiar with. But yeah, that has been a really great compliment to the kind of the visual presentation and kind of the pacing of some stuff that happens. Like, obviously there are going to be, you know, action-packed sequences, but just like a sequence where, you know, Joel is talking with Ellie, and like he's, you know, brushing her off and falls asleep on a couch trying to kill some time. Like those long lingering shots with just cuts, like they don't do an awful lot of like fancy transitioning. It's like really long shots with just cuts and these weird juxtapositions, like cinematically, it's like just really, really sound. That it's one of the best presentations I've seen of stuff like that. And they transition into and out of that really, really well. From some of the stuff that I've seen so far, am I hitting the mark on these, Ben? Does that hold?
Yeah, I agree that there are sharp cuts in the game, and that they have no problem doing that. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler: sharp cuts in the game.
Sharp cuts.
It's kind of hard to be a spoiler because it's, you know,
it is like even just from looking at the commercials.
How can you tell a sharp cut is coming?
True.
Oh, that's you don't know. That's why it's so sharp.
That's
yeah. Cuts are so sharp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is the same music by the guy who did Babel.
Oh, really? So, sweet. Yeah. Wow.
Is the soundtrack, does it do like a dynamic soundtrack type thing, or is it more just, you know, very much like each scene has its theme?
I think it's, you know, like semi-dynamic, where it's like when you get a gun out, it'll, you know, the music will cue up. It's I don't know if it's as pronounced as like Bioshock Infinite with how it responds to what you're doing.
Yeah, it's like from what I noticed, the combat music is more like drums and kind of like atmospheric mood kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when I'm thinking of the music, I'm thinking of during the actual cinematic sequences and story beats and atmosphere, like where it actually breaks out these melodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good. So I'll wait to talk more about it because I think I don't know what chapter I'm on, but I'm not that far out of the place where you start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually, we'll talk about it later after the show. But just for anyone listening, I find a good way to talk about that game is, without spoiling anything, is to ask what city or state they're in. Yeah. And that's usually vague enough that you can kind of get by with that.
I'm still in Massachusetts. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, even that's a spoiler. Damn it. I don't know. It can be a little bit ridiculous, but it's only been out for like less than a month, and I don't want to inadvertently make somebody have less fun with it.
I will challenge anybody listening or you guys. The person next to me at work beat it in a week.
Damn.
So,
yeah. I don't have it in me.
I know.
Oh, wait a minute.
Nothing. I mean, what? No, come on.
That's pretty good.
You can do it, Cole. That's just Hansel, we have faith in you.
Yeah, but I've been playing a lot more. It's been, you know, like I said, it's been a little bit. Played the Walking Dead 400 Days. Gary and I did an impromptu bonus level about it, piggybacked on another recording earlier, like last week, because we could not convene for ours. And yeah, that is really, really good. I recommend anybody who has The Walking Dead or, you know, and has completed it to check that out. Again, to say anything about the way that it's put together or its structure, kind of feels like it would take some of the fun out of it. But for $5, you really can't go wrong. It's probably some of the best in that series, which is saying a lot because, you know, you guys know how well we regard that series. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So. Additionally, more kind of like weird stuff like that. I've finished the second chapter of Kentucky Route Zero. which continues to be really good. I'm kind of feeling that it's less like a game and more of like this interactive poem, for as pretentious as that sounds. But it's got these really strong themes. And again, kind of that, you know, same mournful guitar music, you know, like it's, you know, like really, really sad bluegrass. And I tend to enjoy that kind of thing. Yeah, it's really good. It's definitely different, and I encourage this kind of stuff to be developed and made, and I'm curious to see where they're going to take it. But I can already see some of the kind of thematic lines that they're laying down.
Well, I think they've actually come out and said that they don't intend it to, you know, they don't intend the puzzles to really be that hard, stuff like that. So I think you're kind of right. I think it's, you know, intended to,
yeah,
I guess this is cliche, but kind of be the interactive novel type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are no puzzles in it. Like, it's
no,
really...
Oh, are there none at all?
Yeah, and really, there are none. It's about, like, how much of this thing can you experience? So it's exploration, and then when you're talking to people, there are, like, conversation trees, but the conversation trees don't matter. So it's really just kind of like, what do I feel like saying, or what do I feel like hearing or reading at that point? So there's little game behind it at all. Which, you know, what is game, blah, blah, blah. But it's it definitely holds up well in terms of trying to impart a mood or an atmosphere or a sensation or a feeling to you at various spots, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Let's see here. Some stuff from the, well, one thing from the recent sales. I didn't pick it up on the Steam sale, but I did pick it up on the GOG sale. Have either of you guys played Don't Starve?
That was one of mine I was really excited about until I found out it was roguelike.
See, I like that about it a lot, actually. So basic premise of Don't Starve, like David said, it's a roguelike. It's kind of like a top-down Minecraft that is more focused on survival. You know, whereas in Minecraft, it's about building, and then if you die, it's kind of an inconvenience. You either, you know, respawn at your initial spawn point or at your bed, and you go back and pick up your things. In this, like, the only thing that you have is the number of days that pass by give you experience, and then as you unlock experience or as you amass experience and levels, you get more characters with different abilities and traits and stats to play with. But it's still very similar. You are kind of plopped down in this world, and there's a strange man who says, oh, you look terrible, you better find something to eat. And you have a health meter, a sanity meter, and a hunger meter. And you go around and you try and work your way from kind of like foraging flower petals and berries to trying to set up like a sustainable kind of like farming thing or a way to hunt. So you pick up leaves and twigs or grass and twigs, and you make like rabbit traps. And there's a little game about, you know, you try and place the trap between the rabbit and his hole and then scare him into running into the trap. And then the rabbit enters your inventory and you hover over it, and the action is murder bunny. Then you murder the bunny, and then you get morsels, which you can cook for more health, or you can just eat right on the spot. Raw murdered rabbit. But yeah, like, it has a day and night cycle. It's very clear when night is going to come. And you have to build either a bonfire or a fire pit. And eventually you're kind of seeking to set up, you're seeking to set up structures where you can, you know, be safe during the night. You have tents and walls that you can build. And, you know, really it's about trying to establish a home base that you can, you know, explore outward from in kind of like a radial fashion in order to find these different biomes, like in Minecraft. So there are some areas where it's like, oh, this is really good. You know, it's like a rocky plain where I can, you know, mine rocks and get gold so I can, you know, do more alchemy stuff. Or like this is an area that is full of spiders, so there's a high risk in that you could just, you know, straight up die. Or you know, there's a high reward in that spider silk helps you make, you know, bows and arrows and traps and things like that. And not bows and arrows, like bug nets and fishing lines and things like that. And really that's all that I've encountered so far. There's a lot of interesting stuff in alchemy and things. When your sanity meter gets real low, it's kind of cool because your vision gets all wavery and you see hallucinatory monsters. From what I understand, if your sanity gets low enough, your hallucinations can hurt you.
Ooh.
They attack you. And yeah, if you're like, you know, the darkness is really oppressive. Like, you know, you have to keep putting fuel on the fire or else it encroaches around you, and you can see these little lights or these little eyes, like the lit up eyes that are around you. So it's like Pee Wee's Big Adventure when he's camping down at the bottom of the ravine. It's got all the evil eyes that are like staring at him from the darkness.
It's got a metric crap ton of Gru.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, I like it a lot. It's got a lot of charm. It's made by the same people who made Eats, Shank, and Mark of the Ninja. Like when your dude talks, okay. It kind of sounds like a broken clarinet. Like, you know.
Have you tried any of the other characters?
No, not yet. Like some of them have interesting gimmicks. Like the one that I just unlocked, she's like the second one. She lights fires when she's nervous. So if her sanity goes down low, she just lights fire whatever's nearby. Yeah. It's kind of like Binding of Isaac where, the different characters just kind of give you different stats. Some of them have different starting equipment, and then other ones either gain or lose sanity or health or hunger faster or slower.
I could be wrong, but each of the characters actually has their own instrument.
Oh, really?
That their dialogue does.
Oh, I could see that.
Oh.
There are a bunch of characters, too.
Yeah, I really, from what I've read, I've watched a lot of the trailers and stuff. I really like the tone it does.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of seems like it's sort of, playful, but, a little bit sinister.
Right, right. It feels like a non-obnoxious, non-Hot Topic-y Tim Burton a little bit.
Yeah, what it almost actually reminded me of is, did you ever watch back in the day the Courage the Cowardly Dog cartoon?
You know what? That's spot on.
Yeah, that's really what reminded me of.
Yeah, God, Courage the Cowardly Dog is such a good show. They just put the first season on Netflix.
Like, I think I saw that maybe.
Yeah, it's legit creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I kind of feel a little bit of where you're coming from. Like if you die, if you lose your progress, it generally feels like a pretty big loss. And usually that's when I'll stop for the night, But each game, it's lasting a little bit longer. Like my longest one lasted about like 40 minutes, and this was like last night. what I'm finding is kind of like in Minecraft, you start out, just kind of like you're happy to be able to assemble a spear. Kind of like, oh gosh, at least I got this far, right? But eventually, kind of like a Binding of Isaac, you know from where you start and kind of what the early drops that you get, how this game is going to go, and it's easier and easier to catch back up to where you were. So whereas it took me like 2-3 games to be able to get a science machine or an alchemy engine up. Eventually just like that's just like taken as read that I will have that within like the first 3 days,
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's some kind of weird Binding of Isaac system where it makes the good stuff drop more if you've played it more, or it seems like it that way, or if it's just player skill and that you kind of like know what you're looking for in order to do these things and make you more successful.
See, and stuff like that, I always just assume it's because I'm that good.
Well, yeah. It could be. It could be either. It could be both. So, there's enough system work in this game that, there could be more going on under the surface than I would initially give it credit for.
Definitely.
So, yeah. It's really good. I'm happy that I picked it up. I'm kind of sorry that I waited. As it seems like I feel kind of goofy thinking, like, nah, I won't pay $15 for this. I'll wait till it's $7.50. And it's like, oh, I've already gotten plenty of worth and value out of it. So,
but yeah.
What was that voice, by the way?
Yeah, don't criticize my voices. I don't know. I think it's like a mixture of like Chief Wiggum and somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's about it for me on this one. Beat Demon Souls, but there's going to be a whole show dedicated to that, so you know. David, unless there are any questions about Don't Starve.
I've actually similarly, have had a fair amount of time to play. Probably the biggest thing, I have finally beat Saints Row the Third.
Oh, cool.
That's...
And you'll be promptly mailing it back to Ben, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's kind of wow. I'm not quite sure what to say about that game.
I don't remember too much about the end, except for there being a kind of obnoxious parachute level.
Yeah, are you talking about the one where you jump out of a jetliner onto another jetliner, accidentally blow up the cockpit, and then use a tank on board it to shoot your way out?
Yeah, I'm talking about that one.
Then have a tank battle while free-falling through the air.
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds awesome, but in execution, it's actually not that great.
Yeah, it's... There's a couple of weird things about that level. They introduce much dramatically tougher stag enemies in that level.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemies in it can like take like multiple shotgun blasts and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing about the tank thing, which I can't decide if it's really cool or really annoying, is that they actually replicate the fact that you're free-falling so that, like, bullets travel up, not forward. So that makes it kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
Saints Row is kind of like cranked the video game.
Yeah, really.
You mean crank? Like the Jason Statham movie.
Yeah.
Did I say Jason Statham?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Jason
we're almost right with our words tonight.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, you know, the second half though gets distinctly more weird. I mean, I really liked the Decker arc.
Yeah. Oh man.
There's just you know you jack into the computer and I don't know how much did you guys screw around with the text based part of that?
I did as much of it as I could.
Yeah.
Did you notice that he has your character, in my case he, I guess, has unique responses to like each of the ways you can die?
Yep.
So you know that was pretty awesome. Just randomly zombies. And I like the fact that looking back that they kind of foreshadow that. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you take over the Decker base, it's in a nuclear silo.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're infiltrating it, the protagonist and Kinsey, the hacker chick, proceed to have an argument about whether nuclear zombies are actually real or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so much good stuff, Ed. It's I really, really had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you unmask the wrestler?
I unmasked him. And I chose to not kill him to save the Statue of Liberty type thing, and probably more importantly, Shandi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy. I think one of my favorite lines is the final mission. You know, they we're probably not going to make it through this, so. If you have anything to, you know, get off your chest, now's the time to do it. And, you know, there's several funny thing. And then, you know, I'm using the British voice. And so it gets to the protagonist. He says, yes, I have to admit, I call French fries chips. So,
do we want to spoil who the mayor of whatever the town is?
Oh, that's, yeah. let's not, but okay. that was pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
That was so...
Oh, man. But, like, man, the Hulk Hogan character, like, I just don't know.
You didn't like it, or...?
No, I do. I just like I like the characters in this. Saints Row, like the more distance that I get from it, like, I feel a little bit bad. Like, there's nothing about the aesthetic that I, like... intrinsically like, right? Like, I don't like that you're running around, you know, slapping people with dildos or whatever, right? Like, just you know, whatever. But just right. the extreme that they take it to, like the mission where you break Zemos out,
right,
where you've got the chariots that are being dragged by gimps, like pony boys,
right?
It's like, come on.
I also feel like, I don't know, I almost have more respect for it in that it's a game where, like you said, the story doesn't matter and nothing makes sense, and it still has a better story and better characters than the vast majority of video games.
I guess, but just because it's not all in.
But, yeah, I don't know. I really like it. I love the, on the closing credits, they have all the protagonist voices singing, Love Is What I Got, whoever.
The thing about that game is it knows how to have fun. Like, because I feel like there's going to be like a rift in games in the coming years of like games as art and games that should just be fun, you know? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely went the other direction from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah, it couldn't take itself less seriously.
Yeah, so I'm now crazy, crazy excited for Saints Row 4. I'm interested to see if they, well, one, I'm hoping that the that I can still do my character's voice, you know, the British voice, but I'm gonna be interested to see if they ever actually reference the fact that he's blatantly non-American.
I don't know, like I don't remember them doing that at all. But then again, you can change your voice as you go. So,
well, in that in the game, there are a couple points where he comments on, like, for example, not understanding Americans. I mean, more in terms of the fact that, you know, he's now the president.
Oh, oh yeah, yeah. Huh.
So I'll be interested to see that. I am kind of excited. Apparently, they have come out that you'll be able to choose, you know, just like this game, they'll have the voices. It'll be like female one, female two, etc. But it's going to be, you know, male one, male two, male three, male four, Nolan North.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited for the future, and I it's been a lot of fun.
That's a pretty, that's a pretty, like, ballsy move. Like, that's not a joke that anybody would get, except if they paid attention to the fact that Nolan North plays a bunch of video game characters.
I mean, they are a game though that, you know, proceeded to dedicate a portion of their game to text-based adventure games. Wow. So
I'm looking at this. So Troy Baker plays voiceover one, male one.
Right.
He might be the new Nolan North. I'm looking at this right here. He's been in a bunch of these games. So, like, he's Booker DeWitt on Bioshock Infinite. He is, let us see here, he's Vincent and Catherine. He is Snow in Final Fantasy 13. Reading Wikipedia. Yeah, he is all over the place. In terms of being, I played Jake in Resident Evil 6.
He's Joel in The Last of Us. The guitarist from Guitar Hero.
What?
I didn't even know he spoke.
Wait, so he was Booker DeWitt and Joel in The Last of Us?
Yes, sir.
So he's the protagonist in the two best games of this year so far?
Yes.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So, who knows? Man. Let's see here. So, yeah, Saints Row the Third. I'm happy that you have finished it. I forget everything about the end, so most of what you said was re-news to me.
Yeah, the end makes very little sense. I find it funny the degree to which, though, they successfully, despite the fact that your characters are blatantly horrible people, they mm-hmm. still more or less come across as the heroes or likable or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Then, actually, the other thing is I picked up via this Steam sale. I picked up Skyrim.
Right.
Scrim.
Scrims.
Scrim.
Can we get a scrim on that key light? Really blowing up on the light meter.
So, yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what to say to that.
Yeah, but don't worry. It's a, it's lighting terms. Blah.
So, yeah, so far, I'm amazed by the degree to which, in a game that's theoretically an action game, the degree to which I've been successful in not killing things.
Yeah.
I've spent entire play sessions just wandering around towns talking to people.
Like, are you not killing people just by not finding your way into combat?
Yeah, just not finding dudes to kill.
Okay.
Well, or at least dudes that aren't townsfolk. And my understanding is that's looked poorly upon.
So are you just like, are you playing like the basket weaver who happened to be the savior of the world or what?
No, it's more just like, I don't know, you know, I got the game, you know, you do the introductory kind of mini dungeon and then pretty much hightailed it to what the Jarl or whatever, you know, the first major significant city and then proceed to just like wander around Whiterun, you know, talking to people for like several hours. So I actually since then I'm kind of interested in joining the Thieves Guild, so I trekked out to, was it Riften or whatever?
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of in the process of doing that.
Have you gotten there yet?
I've gotten there, and then I went through the mini heist they make you do, and then went through the sewers.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am now. I don't know.
The Thieves Guild is way too. It's really complicated the way that it works. To my mind, like I did the Dark Brotherhood first, and that's relatively linear compared to. You know.
Yeah, I haven't made up my mind. This is one of those things where it's like something I'm complaining about, but it's actually kind of me saying this is too good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the one problem I'm having is it's such a big world and there's so much backstory that I'm having trouble making informed decisions.
Mm.
You know, in terms of like, you know, like it's fairly obvious that at some point I'm going to have to make a decision between the Rebel Alliance and the Empire.
Right.
And like I have no idea like what the history is there.
Right.
So
that's like part of the fun though, right? Like learning the world.
Yeah, it truly is. But yeah, so right now I'm still kind of figuring out what factions I want to throw in my hand with.
Mm-hmm.
But what sort of combat style did you guys go with?
Ben, you go first because you've done more than me.
I think I went heavily into archery, and so I maxed that tree out. And there's one thing too where like you get some absurd multiplier too if you do like the sneaking. So it's like if you shoot someone with an arrow when they don't know you're there, then it gives you like a ×6 multiplier or something like that.
Yeah.
So you just shoot someone from afar, stay crouched, and then they look around briefly and then just stay where they are and then you shoot them again and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, if you go Dark Brotherhood, it's possible to get a 90 times multiplier.
Huh.
It's like, you know, you can get like a 10 or 20 times multiplier for using a dagger from stealth, and then there's like a Dark Brotherhood item that doubles that. And anyways,
okay.
But
yeah, I think it's a ×15 multiplier for backstab with the dagger.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I did archery too, just because those feats seem to be more interesting to me, like to the way that I play. Not like straight up stealth, but just it seemed to make combat a little bit more textured than run up and be a whackman, you know.
Yeah. Yes. That's Whack Man. Have you copyrighted that?
It's in the system right now. Man. But yeah, I also do like support magic behind that.
Sure.
Magic is not nearly as overpowered in Skyrim as it was in Oblivion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in
you can't craft the loophole in 15 minutes.
No, you cannot craft a loophole in 15 minutes. Although the Mage's Guild quest is better.
I remembered that.
Yeah, like the Academy of Magic. That quest is actually really really good, and I would recommend going through that as quick as possible.
So that's something I was wondering is, you know, how to what degree does it punish cross classing or, you know, just screwing around? Because like I could never see myself like actually playing a mage as my primary thing, but, you know, does it punish me from just, you know, doing some magery?
It'd be great if the game somehow discouraged exploration or punished exploration.
if they narrowed your scope down with every decision you made instead of like widening it, so that it would be actually feasible to do like multiple playthroughs with different attacks.
Yeah. Although I actually, speaking of which, I was looking around and I found I think it was a Kotaku article that was analyzing based on Steam achievements, you can kind of get an idea of what percentage of the players have done various things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like something like only like 20% of players ever actually beat the game. And only like 10% of players ever bother to like get married.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing is, though, if you compare those to some of them that basically revolve around screwing around, it's much higher percentages.
Yeah, so. I could see that. I could see that being the case. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm really, really enjoying it. Like you said, I found it seems like melee combat, you know, theoretically you can block and stuff like that, but it doesn't seem like that's really needed. You kind of just hit things. But
yeah, I don't know. It's better than it was like in Morrowind, where everything was dictated by a roll, even though it didn't look like it.
True. Yeah. So. It does strike me the world seems a little bit surprisingly unshocked by the return of dragons.
Really?
They go on about their business after the dragon's dead.
Yeah.
Well,
considering that some of the best ways to deal with dragons when you find them out in the wild is to draw them back to the nearest population center. It's true. Wow. I'm not a monster. No, you
sure,
go to hell.
Sure, Cole. See, it struck me as weird that, like, when you first find them, they're all like, oh, dragons are a myth. This can't be happening. And then you go and, you know, like, you're tasked with, like, relaying this news with, to, you know, the king or the drow or whatever. And you tell them, and it's pretty much like, oh, okay. We should do something about that.
Oh, well, shit. I guess you're right.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know. I guess I was expecting, like, every story like this always does the, like, oh, the hero goes back and tells everyone and no one believes something. And
the
then
Denzel
they just
Washington
blatantly don't
line.
Do that.
Yeah. Nobody believes you until it's too late. Those people didn't have to die.
This ain't a bank robbery.
Is that a reference to The Inside Man?
I ain't crazy. It's, yeah.
That's a good movie. I like that movie.
Unless, of course, I go the Dark Brotherhood path, in which case, yes, those people do have to die.
So good. Oh, man.
See, that's the thing. I think I'm going to have to relax. You know, normally I play my characters, you know, kind of role-play them or whatever, you know, try to make decisions the way I feel I or the character would do it. I think I'm going to have to relax that in this game just because there's so much many fun shenanigans you can get away with.
Right. You can justify anything through role-playing. Like, it could be that you're attempting to rise through the ranks, you know, in order to bring down the corrupt system inside the Dark Brotherhood, right?
That's true.
Yeah, you could be a Serpico, you know?
Crooked cops.
Oh, man. Yeah, so... Yeah, you'll have to keep us abreast on the Skyrim stuff. I don't want to blow up your spot vis-a-vis phobias, but how are you handling the cave, like the rock spiders?
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's like the first thing that you fight. Like, there are mods that turn the spiders into bears.
I might have to check that out. Although I will say I'm significantly less scared of spiders when there's 3 feet of sharpened steel between me and them.
True. But what about Half-Life, where you have like shotguns between you and them?
That's true. You don't have to reload steel though.
Okay.
But
you don't have to reload steel. Oh man.
Yeah, that'll be the name of my ska band.
Yeah, I suppose.
Album. That sounds more like an album name.
Album?
Album. Your Mitch album name. It's one of the five people you're going to meet in heaven.
I really hated that book.
Yeah, it's really condescending. Oh, my skin's blue. I'm so wise. Fuck you, Carnival Man. Yes, that's right. I just dropped Mitch album knowledge on all y'all.
I never understood, like, the apparently the way the afterlife works is, hey, your life sucked. The afterlife is you learning a lot more about your life that sucked.
Yeah, it's like really getting to the root of where you went wrong. Five people you wronged in heaven. Anyway, so you guys, David, was there any other game that you had played before we wrap her up?
Picked up Rogue Legacy, but not really a lot to say about it other than I really suck at the game right now and get killed a lot.
Right. And that doesn't trip up your roguelike hate because you can carry over your gold and experience.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. So yeah, let's table that for now, and then I really want the Mac version of that to be out like yesterday, but it's not to be. I've got a new good.
And then you too can randomly generate, you know, Chun-Li, the dyslexic barbarian with irritable bowel syndrome.
That's pretty good. Oh, man, want to button it up?
Sure.
So that was level 28 of The Level, an episode about shows for people who love games. What? I just spent a couple seconds telling you guys how tired I was. So anyway, what can we do? You can go to duckfeed.tv/thelevel, where you can find old episodes of the show, iTunes, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. You know all of that. If you would like to support the network monetarily, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, use our Amazon link. People are blowing that up, and that is helping us out. It does make a big difference in our ability to do this, not at a cost, but, you know, it's not about that. It's about talking for people and making fun of people for games and love. What? Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Normally we do a multiplayer prompt. This week we didn't, just because we wanted to make time for more games, video games. What else is there? Condolences to Ryan Davis of the Giant Bombcast. Well, not condolences to him, to everybody else at Giant Bomb and his family and friends. Ryan Davis passed away about like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. It was real sad. He was like 34. He was on his honeymoon. It was real gross. So that really sucks. Don't take for granted that the people, you know, you are around are going to be there forever. Just, you know, all that kind of mushy stuff. So yeah. Am I missing anything, fellas? Nope.
No.
Okay. So yeah, this has been Cole Ross. I'm at Cole Ross on Twitter.
This is David Meismith. I'm at Meismith777.
And Ben Merkel, I'm at Merkelizer.
And, the five people you made in heaven joke is probably a little bit tasteless after that sentimental bit. So, seatbelts?
Let's talk about video games.
Let's do that. Let's get started.
What about video games about food?
Cooking Mama, all Cooking Mama all the time. Paula Deen's Cooking Mama.
Topical.